Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you're speaking to us from your word. And I give you all that I am or ever could be for the glory of your name and the benefit of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been real prompted, very strongly prompted by the Holy Spirit this morning to do a quick review of a sermon that many of you missed about 3 weeks ago. In fact, it was the week that you guys took the youth to Tulsa. And evidently, the Lord wanted you to hear this, so I'm going to do a quick review of it. It has to do with fire. How many are afraid of the fire? We don't like fire, right? Well, God's not afraid of the fire. He's fireproof. In fact, he is so fireproof that he is fire. In Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says, our God, not someone else's God, our God is a consuming fire. And I just want to give you a quick review of that sermon because we're expecting to see fire here in our services among our people. I really expect supernatural manifestations of fire. You say, well, why would God do something like that? That's pretty wild. Well, he's been doing it for about 6,000 years, and there's no reason for him to quit because he said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. There you go. You go with that. In Genesis 3, we see that God is actually guarding eternal life with a flaming sword. He uses a flaming sword to guard eternal life. That's Genesis 3. In Exodus 3, we see God speaking to Moses, giving instruction out of a burning bush on fire. Okay? In Exodus 13, we see where God used a pillar of fire, like a cloud of fire that came over the children of Israel in the wilderness, and it kept them warm and gave them light. Fire. In Leviticus 9 and in a number of other places, a number of scriptures talk about God consuming the sacrifices that they made to him with fire. They didn't have to burn the food. He just, fire come out of heaven, burn the sacrifices. In 2 Chronicles 7, Solomon was dedicating a new temple to the Lord, and God came in what we call a glory cloud, and also fire came in to the temple. Fire. Fire in the house. Fire in the house. That must have been pretty wild and wonderful. In 2 Kings 6, we see where the prophet Elisha and his servant are surrounded by enemy armies. And Elisha says, Lord, show my servant what's really going on here. And the Lord opened his spiritual eyes, and he saw surrounding that enemy army, a bigger surrounding of chariots of fire in the armies of God. So if you want to join God's army, you're going to have to get used to some fire because you're going to be riding a chariot of fire. Whoa. In the prophet Jeremiah, where Eric was reading out of Jeremiah, he talked in two different places about fire being in the word of God was fire in chapter 23, and the word of God was fire in his bones in chapter 20. You know, a lot of times a preacher would get up and they're all fired up. Well, in Daniel chapter 3, we see that God joins three would-be martyrs, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He joins them in the fire and sets them free. And all the fire could do to them was burn up the bonds that held their hands together. Chapter 7 of Daniel, he sees a vision of a river of fire coming out of the throne of God. Fire. Everybody say fire. Fire. Daniel chapter 10, it coincides very closely with a man of fire that John saw in the book of Revelation. Jesus, with fire coming out of his eyes. Everybody's in love with Jesus, you know, the good shepherd. He's got fire coming out of his eyes, brother. He's hot. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel sees numerous manifestations in the opening of his book. Visions of God with fire. Fire in God, fire in his vehicle, fire in his throne, fire in his feet, fire in his wheels. I mean, God's on fire. In Zechariah chapter 2, we see angels of fire surrounding God's people in a protective way. Interesting, huh? I'm just giving you a quick overview, outline, because I know God wants to do something with the fire in the days to come, and we need to be ready for it. Matthew chapter 3, going to the New Testament now for a while. Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist says Jesus is coming to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 2, we see that tongues or wings of fire came down on the 120 in the day of Pentecost. As they were there praying in the upper room, tongues of fire came and set on them. Fire, fire. Don't be afraid of the fire. Welcome the fire. And then later in Acts chapter 2, he talks about signs and wonders being done in the earth. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Amen. Signs and wonders of fire. Don't be afraid of the fire. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about the fire of God burning all that can burn in the way of wood, hay, and stubble and junk that might be in our lives. And what comes forth after that is refined gold. Fire. He wants us on fire so we can be cleansed. Amen. Again, I mentioned Revelation chapter 1 where John saw Jesus with fire in his eyes. And so we see that fire is a very special thing. Hebrews chapter 12 says God is a consuming fire. What does he consume? He consumes sin. He consumes wood, hay, and stubble. He consumes the devil. He consumes the works of Satan and the works of sin that might be in our lives. God is a consuming fire. In 2 Peter chapter 3, we see that Peter's looking forward to, with great anticipation, to the day that Jesus sweeps the earth, the heavens and the earth with fire and cleanses the whole thing. About 4 or 5 months ago, there was a fire out at Bill and Connie's house on King's Highway, and it took several acres of their acreage there and just scorched it and burned it off. And it was ugly and black and dangerous, you know, dangerous when it was happening. And we're all down there and running around, you know. And Mike's over there with his tractor pushing dirt. And I mean, you know, all the neighbors are out there with shovels and trying to put out the fire. Well, it's a huge scorched earth era out there 4 or 5 months ago. But I just happened to notice driving by it yesterday and the beautiful green grass about 6 inches tall. It's just paradise. Well, that's what's going to happen. You know, when Peter talks about the elements burning with fire and burning with this terrific heat, the heavens and the earth is being scorched, so to speak. It's to burn up the dross, the evil, the bad, the worldly system of man that does not function in the kingdom of God. And he says, then we look forward to a kingdom that a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Once all the junk's burned up. And so don't be afraid of the fire. Get on fire for God. If you want to be where the action is, get on fire. Because God's going to be burning something bad so that something good can be made manifest. And I'm especially interested in Acts chapter 2, verse 16, where he talked about in these last days there would be signs and wonders in the earth. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And I don't pretend to be some kind of special prophet that tells you, you know, certain kind of fires are going to come or certain things are going to happen. Because I don't know. God hadn't given me the details and I sure can't tell him what to do. But I can tell by his word from Genesis Revelation that fire is part of his process when he's moving in the earth. Fire is part of his process when he's moving among his people. And I believe that we're going to see supernatural fires. And what was called 100 years ago, there was a great move of God called the Azusa Street Outpouring, where many of your Pentecostal movements of today and charismatic movements today were actually born out of a revival of fire that took place in L.A., California, L.A. County, a place called Azusa Street, where the fires of God burned and people were getting saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, and miracles were happening and terrific healings were happening. And in one occasion, the firemen came with the fire truck and they come rushing in, you know, put out the fire. And it was a supernatural fire. It really happened. And so I just want to get you ready for anything that God might want to do in the realm of fire. And I believe the main thing he wants to do, where it all starts, is in us. I feel a fire in me this morning. I feel a burning in me this morning. And it just wants to burn up the dross, burn up any of the carnality, and just let me get pure before God. I just want that. I desire that. I want to know God intimately, and I want to know him in his purity and his holiness. And so, Lord, just let that fire burn. I can remember many times as a young boy growing up in church and during times when I was rebellious against the things of God. And I would, you know, the preacher would give what we call an altar call, an invitation to serve Christ or to rededicate your life to Christ. And people would be coming up to the altar to be prayed for, to seek God and get on their knees and cry out to God. And there would be this fire in my chest. And it would be the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Many times the conviction of the Holy Spirit is trying to get you to the altar, trying to get you to seek God and to clean up your life. It comes in the form of what feels like a fire in your chest. Can anybody relate to that? Amen. And so don't be afraid of the fire. Expect it. And expect it to do great and wonderful things. Amen. I just felt like the Holy Spirit wanted us to review that. Mostly for those who weren't here on the Sunday that was taught. But anyway, we're going to go from that now to some things the Lord's been speaking to me today. And I gave this two titles. I like to title messages and for whatever reason. Sometimes when we tape the messages, it's good to have them titled. And at one point I called this Parallel Universes. Anybody like science fiction? I do. When I got to talking to Barbara about this sermon, she thought I'd been watching science fiction movies, I think. And then I, you know, if parallel universes aren't enough, we can go with this title, Close Encounters with Godkind. And that's what he's really getting to here, Close Encounters with Godkind. Amen. And, okay, I've never preached this before, and it's got some things that I'm still working on, so please bear with me as I learn with you this morning. But I want to take you to what started me thinking along these lines in 1 Corinthians 15:44. By the way, I'm going to be using the New Living Translation this morning, and I'm planning to stay with it throughout the sermon. And 1 Corinthians 15:44. Christina's probably already got it up there. Well, maybe see who gets there first, me or her. She got it. Okay, Paul in this whole chapter is talking about death and life, death, life, and resurrection. He's talking to people about what happens when people die and the fact that we're not really dead. I mean, it's a whole chapter that's real good to teach and preach during funerals and memorial services. But this place began to really stand out in my spirit, the second half of this scripture. They are buried, speaking of those that died, they are buried as a natural human body, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also, what? Spiritual bodies. Now I was reading this according to a whole other subject, and the Lord began to speak to me out of the second half of this, began to speak to me about what he wanted me to share with you today, that there are natural bodies and spiritual bodies. Okay, based on that one little statement, I think the first title of our sermon would fit Parallel Universes. Natural, spiritual. Can we do that? Just kind of use that as a basis or a foundation of where we want to go this morning. And while I'm meditating on these things and meditating on the fact that there are natural bodies and spiritual bodies, or we could say natural worlds and spiritual worlds. Natural realms and spiritual realms. Natural spheres and spiritual spheres. I don't know if I said that word right. But you got a parallel going on here, okay? We're going to get to some scriptures in a minute that talk about that. But while I was meditating on that, I could hear the Holy Spirit asking me a question. He said, what's the best or most special reward for becoming a Christian and serving God? And so, you know, I'm thinking about that. I'm meditating on that. Why am I serving God? What is my reward? What's the best reason, the best reward for serving God? And I'm thinking, well, I get to go to heaven. I don't have to burn in hell. You know, I get God on my side. There's all these reasons, you know. I get to walk on golden streets. Maybe somebody's got some ideas. What's a good reason for, you know, being a Christian? And as I'm meditating on these things, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me through the scripture. And he said, the best reason for serving God and being a Christian is so you'll have eternal life. He wants us to live forever, like him and with him. That's wild. That's wild. That's way beyond walking on golden streets. Little Joseph had a beautiful vision that showed him in his own mind and his own heart some of the beauties of heaven. And that is so precious, and we just embrace those things. Amen? We embrace that vision that you had. We embrace the same kind of visions that are in the Word of God. But eternal life goes far beyond that. Eternal life is big. And I want you to look at Luke 10:17. Everybody say, eternal life is big. Luke 10:17, and I'm going to read about 3 or 4 verses there. Jesus had sent out 70 people as disciples, and he gave them power over devils. He gave them power to heal the sick. And these guys were moving through the nation of Israel as a mighty force, doing the will of God, bringing heaven to earth. I mean, this was an awesome time. And they come back and they bring a report to Jesus. And one of the main things they're reporting was, they said, "Hey, Lord, the demons run from us. We got the devil on the run, Lord." He said, "Well, that's cool. But you need to not so much rejoice in that. You need to rejoice that your names are written in heaven, in the book of life." Let's read that. Verse 17. "When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, 'Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name.'" "Yes," he told them. He's talking about what he saw in the devil. He said, "I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. And you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven." I believe we could say, rejoice because you have eternal life. Once your name is registered in heaven, you become a citizen of another country. You become a citizen of heaven. You become a citizen of where God is. Now, God is everywhere. We understand that. But we're talking about the special place we call heaven. And so we need to get to thinking about the beauty of having eternal life. Look at somebody and say, "You're registered in heaven." Maybe you registered Democrat. Maybe you registered Independent. Maybe you registered Republican. But the registration that's going to count in eternity is, are you registered in heaven? That is the biggest thing. It's cool when devils run when you use the name of Jesus. That is one cool thing. But it's even cooler, more cool, coolest. It's the most wonderful thing to know that we have eternal life. Wow. Most of us spend our time, or most of our time, thinking about the here and now. We need to give more attention to the there and then. How can I survive today? Please pray for me. You know, call the prayer chain. Please pray for me. I got all these things happening today. We're going to do that. It's who we are, what we do. It's good to call the prayer chain. But given that that is an important part of our lives, there is a much more important part of our life, which is spiritual and heavenly and supernatural and beyond our cares of the day. And we need to think about heavenly things and think about our future with God. I know it's difficult to think about your future with God when you've got all these battles to fight here and now. But believe me, if you get your eyes on God and heavenly things, get your eyes on the supernatural, spiritual, heavenly, awesome power of God that dwells within you, get thinking about that, the things that trouble you today will grow lesser and lesser and lesser. Amen? Look at John 17:24. I love John 14:15, 16, 17. Those are some of my favorite passages in all the world. And if you want to know how Jesus prays for you, and want to know what Jesus plans for you, you need to read John 14:15, 16, 17. Those chapters will blow your mind and set you free in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Okay, we're in 17, verse 24, I believe I said. I'll be there next page. Here we are. Jesus is praying. How many know Jesus prays? Boy, I'm glad he prays for me because he gets his prayers answered. Verse 24, he says, "Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory that you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. I wanted us to look at this scripture because Jesus is praying and saying, Father, I want them to see the glory. I want them to see the glory. I want them to see the glory. They're excited about the devil's running when they use my name, but I want them to see the glory. They're excited about walking on golden streets, but I want them to see the glory that I had with you before the creation of time. You know what kind of glory he had back then? I don't. We have some clues in the Bible, but we don't know a whole lot about the glory back then because he doesn't tell us a whole lot about it. But it was a creative glory. Out of the glory that Jesus had back then, before Adam and Eve and all that, the glory that he had was a creative glory. The universe began to expand way back then. Awesome things were happening in the glory of God. And it's just, he wants us to be a part of that. He wants us to be included in his glory. And the future is actually going to be better than the past because God is always on the increase. I mean, we spend hours and hours and hours, you know, teaching our people every year in all these different ways. We teach them in song and in praise and in worship and in prophecy and in teaching and preaching. We teach all the wonderful things God has done and all the things he's doing. But I'm telling you, folks, any school teachers? We ain't seen nothing yet. Because he's on the increase. He said a long time ago, let there be. And he never has said, let there stop. Hallelujah. Anyway, fun, right? Well, sure it is. We need to raise the quality of our thinking up to heavenly places. Look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3:1 is where we'll start on that. We need to raise the quality of our thinking up to heavenly places. And this is part of it right here, is one of the ways we get there. Colossians 3:1, and I'm going to read 2 or 3 verses, and we'll end up reading most of Colossians before I finish with this segment here. Since you've been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Are you born again? Raise your hand if you're born again. Raise your hand if you want to be born again. Okay, so you all qualify here real fast. Well, since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Then he goes on to say, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Oh, I like that. Verse 2, think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you'll share in all of his what? You'll share in all that Jesus prayed that you would share in. Jesus just prayed that you'd share in his glory. And Paul says, hey, I'll grab that. I want some of that. And he says, hey, folks, you're going to share in his glory. Hallelujah. Oh, but I like this part where he says, set your sights on the realities of heaven. What are some of the realities of heaven? Well, it starts eternal life. That's a reality of heaven. You get to live forever. Now, you know, we have a hard time getting excited about that because we don't know what it's going to be like. Anybody here ever lived forever and you can tell us all about it? So some of these things we grab a hold of by faith and even get excited about them by faith. But there's something on the inside. You got an inside? Something on the inside that says, yeah, yeah, there is a heaven. Yeah, there is eternal life. Yeah. It's real. Yeah, there is a God. Yeah, he cares about me. Yeah, he's a part of my life. Yeah, something's happening. Yeah, there's fire in my bones. Yeah, heaven, 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 heaven started when I got born again. And it's going to get better and better. Barbara's dad used to say, gooder and gooder and gooder. Well, how about that? Anyhow, let me mention this. We need to raise our quality of thinking up to heavenly things. Everybody say up. Okay, parallel universes, natural, spiritual, up. Where's up? Point up. Okay, now you've all went to school long enough to know that in outer space, where is up? bringing it out of outer space down to the globe. That's up for me right now, right? What about the Chinaman? Which way is he pointing? Chinaman's pointing that way, saying, no, that's up. I'm saying, no, that's up. So when we talk about up, or when the Bible talks about up, or when Jesus or God or any of the prophets talk about coming up or rising up, he's talking about to a spiritual place. Up in the Word of God, up in the kingdom of God is towards God. It's not towards that white ceiling. It's towards God. And so keep in mind that spiritual terms are more powerful and more prevalent and more truthful than natural terms. Spiritual up is more eternal than natural up. Parallel universes. Just a thought. Look at, did we find Colossians 1? We were there a minute ago. Are we still there? Okay, look at verse 15 through 17. Oh, Colossians 1, excuse me. We were in Colossians 3. We're going to Colossians 1, Christina. Don't do what I do, do what I mean. Yeah. Okay, verse 15 through probably about 20. Let's try this. Are you ready? Here we have a clue about what's going on in this natural, spiritual, parallel universe. Think higher, think up, move up. Let me shut up and read. Christ is the visible image of what? The invisible God. He, Christ, existed before anything was created. And he is supreme over all creation. For through him, Christ, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on the earth. And he made the things we can see and the things we can't see. Parallel universes. There are things you can see and things you cannot see. He made them all. He made them all. And I like to say it like this. He made what we see to show us what we can't see looks like. We get an idea as to what we can't see. We get an idea what that looks like by what we can see. We're going to see a scripture for that in a minute. In fact, let's go to, let me finish this. Verse 16, for through him, Christ, God created all things in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. And everything was created through him and for him. He, Christ, existed before anything else. And he, Christ, holds all creation together. Eric came in this morning quoting this scripture, stealing my message, and he didn't even know what I was going to talk about. But I'm getting it back, Eric. This is mine. Hallelujah. He holds all of creation together. Now, creation is big. Is the moon part of creation? How about the sun? Mars, Venus, Pluto, galaxy, Milky Way, black holes. How far do we take this, you know? End of the universe. Oh, they finally got to the end of the universe. Guess what they saw? The beginning. It's bigger than we thought. The universe was so big and they finally found the boundaries. And all of a sudden, this globe of boundaries of the universe are all in something. Outer space, beyond, and the absolute. It's incomprehensible, unconceivable. Are we okay? Jesus created all that. He created all of that. Say, what about the Big Bang Theory? Well, if there's any element of truth to that in the most minute sense, guess who said bang? Jesus. He started everything, and yet he is so infinite. He didn't have to start it because it's always been. We'll feed on that for a while. Let me get back down to earth and go to Romans chapter 1, verse 20. I'm telling you, Jesus is big. Heaven is big. The kingdom of God is big. And your place in God is very important because nothing can be big without including all of us. We all count. Oh, I'm so little, I'm so insignificant. While you're looking for Romans 1. I'm so insignificant, it really doesn't matter. Da, 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 da. Well, anybody here have a needle, pin. Any of you ladies have hat? Whoops. Any of you ladies wear hat pins anymore? I don't think so. When I was a little boy, ladies wore hats and hat pins to church. You don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm that old. Mitch, come stand by me. I'm going to pretend that this is a needle, okay? How many cells are in his body? Come on, school teachers. How many cells are in his body? A couple of thousand? A couple of trillion? Okay, let's pretend this is a needle. The finest, tiniest needle on earth. And I'm just going to touch one of your 28 trillion cells, okay? Can you feel it? Thank you. It's connected. That one teeny tiny spot, cell, if we'll call it that, is connected to his mouth. He went, yeah. That's exactly how connected you are to the universe, because the whole universe is who God is. That's exactly how connected you are to the body of Christ, because that's the way the body of Christ works. Every member in particular has a special feeling, response, responsibility, place in the body. Look at somebody and say, you're more important than you thought. Did you find Romans 1:20? For ever since the world was created, now we know that's back a ways, people have seen the earth and the sky, and through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities. Even his eternal power and divine nature, so that they have no excuse for not knowing God. That's plain English, but let me give it to you in my version of plain English. Everything God made is showing us something in the invisible world. Amen. Everything is clearly seen, even his eternal power and Godhead. I mean, you can see God in nature. Maybe we want to look at some of that. But first of all, everybody remembers Genesis. That's where you start reading in the Bible. Especially if you lose your place, you go back to Genesis and start over, you know. God made the universe, the extremities of the universe. He made the lights that we use, the earth as we know it. He made the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, la 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 la. Oceans, fish, wigglies, twigglies. And I can just see God, okay? It's okay if I imagine something, right? Because I believe it's all right. I'm only doing this with the permission of the Lord. I can see God saying to his team, creation team. He says, well, we made all these beautiful things. Let's show them what we look like. He says, they see our heart in creation. They see our beauty in creation. And they see our magnificence in creation. And our enormity in creation. And our infancy in creation. But let's show them what we really look like. Let's make a man. He made you and me. Now you know he has a sense of humor. The things that are made show us what it looks like over there on the other side. You know why the devil hates you so much? It's because you look like your daddy, God. He can't stand the sight of you because every time the devil looks at one of us, he's reminded of who he's up against. We read that. Everybody said, we read that. Let's move on. And so thinking of Genesis, God made man, we see that God made man to look like, he made man to look like God. He made man to reign like God. He made man to rule like God. Remember, he told Adam, take a dominion over the animals, the creeping things. And, you know, you have dominion over creeps. You should really like that. He made man in the hope that man would be God kind. And he's been looking for a man ever since Adam. And then he moved up to people like Abraham, Moses, David, Elijah. He's been looking for a God kind of human that would do the will of God in the earth like it's done in heaven. That's what this whole book is about. He's trying to find a human, God kind of person that can see that the will of God is done in the earth the same way the will of God is done in heaven. Guess what? First Adam and his race got it wrong. Second Adam, as Jesus Christ is called by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, the second Adam got it right. His name is Jesus. And he and his body, which includes you and I, he is the man that's going to get the will of God going in the earth as it is in heaven. Well, that was a mouthful. Filled my head. Of course, doesn't take much to fill my head. Maybe we ought to look at Acts 17:22, just for the fun of it. Acts 17:22. Keep in mind that all that is made is trying to show us the things that aren't made. All that is visible, trying to show us what is invisible. Are we still with me? Acts 17:22? Okay, I'm going to read a little ways here. I'm not sure how far yet. So Paul standing before the council. Okay, he's in Athens. Everybody say he's in Athens. Okay, Paul in Athens standing before the council addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, I noticed that you are very religious in your way. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines. And one of your altars had this inscription on it. To the unknown God. This God whom you worship without knowing is the one I'm telling you about. He is the God that made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, and he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. And from one man, he's speaking of Christ here, from one man, Jesus will say, he created all the nations throughout all the whole earth. And he decided beforehand when they should rise and fall. And he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God. And perhaps feel their way towards him and find him. Though he is not far from any one of us. For in him, Christ, we live and move and exist. We get anything out of that? His purpose is so that the nations will seek after God and perhaps find him. God, who created all things, is trying to show himself to the nations. Trying to show himself to every people group on the planet. He wants to show himself so they can find him. I mean, there's something in the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl that cries out to know God. And he says, hey, I created everything. You don't have to look very far. Just begin to accept by faith that I am the creator. It's a good place to start. Okay, I want to run through some things here, kind of change gears for a minute. Remember, natural things were made to represent God to us. And so just, we're going to play a game, okay? And since it's my rules, I get to win. But I'm going to say something that's made, and you tell me how it's represented in the kingdom of God. Maybe once we get rolling, you know more what I'm talking about. The sun, what does that represent? Christ, Jesus. The natural sun, was that made? Remember that the invisible things are clearly seen by what was what? Made. Again, the invisible things, even God's power and eternal Godhead, all the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen by what is made. Did I get that out right? It was the Son made. So what is it trying to show us? The Son of God. And he himself said that he and his body are the light of the world. What's the light of the natural earth? The sun. What's the light of the spiritual earth? The sun. S-O-N. And his body. We're the light of the earth, baby. The moon. You wonder, what would the moon represent? It was something made. What's it trying to represent in the spirit realm? The moon represents the church. The church has no light of its own. It can only reflect the light of the sun. How about the stars? Well, as you search the scriptures and research and study the scriptures, you'll find that the stars represent apostles and angels, messengers from God. He must have a lot of them. about something like the dust of the earth. What does the dust represent? Well, it represents physical man, the animal kingdom, what we're made out of in the earthly sense. What does water represent? Water represents the Word of God. Now, tell me, is the Word of God a life giver, life maintainer, life sustainer? Word of God and water are the same. They give life, maintain life. How about the seas? The many seas speak of the multitudes, multitudes of people. Speak of plenty. A lot of water out there. The wind represents the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 3 that the Spirit moves like the wind. And you can tell it's blowing, but you can't see it. You know, when the Holy Ghost comes in the house, you can't see Him. You can only see what He does. Wind, Spirit. Something as natural as gold. Gold was made, and gold represents the purity of God's nature. Silver, another thing that was made. It represents redemption that we have in Christ Jesus. Precious gems and jewels represent God's children and their walls of protection. And Joseph saw the vision of heaven. Well, John had a vision of heaven in Revelation. He saw the walls made out of precious stones and gems. Protection for God's people. In the book of Malachi, I believe it is, he talks about God gathering His jewels or His children. He thinks you're one of His little jewels. I get to be an emerald. You get to be a ruby. Someone else is a diamond. Hey, I like that. How about something like in the food realm? Bread. Jesus said what? I am the bread of life. You know, like you're going to have water to live, you need bread to live. You need Jesus to live. Wine, everybody likes a little wine. Little wine, I said, little wine. Big wine gets you in trouble. Look at somebody and say, big wine gets you in trouble. Wine speaks of the Holy Spirit. It speaks of healing. When the Good Samaritan found the guy all beat up on the road, he poured oil and wine in his wounds. Oil speaks of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Oh, when the Holy Ghost gets on you, it just feels like oil sometimes running all over you. The natural universe and all of its enormity. It's enormous, right? So that's enormity. Well, it speaks of the enormity of God and His spirit realms bigger yet. Because the physical enormity was created by the spiritual enormity. So what is spirit is far greater than what is physical. It's like our heads going, tilt, tilt. It's all right. Jesus represents God. We just read that in Colossians 1:15, where He is the image of the invisible God. You want to know what Jesus, what God looks like? He looks like Jesus. Go to Psalms 19:1. Oh, I love the Word of God. Psalms 19:1. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display His craftsmanship. Do another one. Day after day they continue to speak. What's speaking? What's speaking? Go back to verse 1. The heavens. Everybody say heavens. Heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies. Say skies. Display His craftsmanship. Verse 2. Day after day they what? Heaven and skies. What's speaking? Where the... Okay, and night after night they make who known? Him. I don't know about you guys, but I had the pleasure last night of watching a most gorgeous sunset. When it's rainy and lots of clouds, you need to get out, leave the TV, get out and watch the sun go down. And for you who can handle it, you need to get up early and watch it come up because it's gorgeous. And we live in the perfect place to see beautiful sunrises and sunsets. Don't let them pass you by. Last night, I got to watch a gorgeous sunset, and it was just like fire in the heavens, and gold and silver and orange and all these gorgeous purples, and it's just like, I saw one cloud in particular. It's like it had this humongous fire behind it, and you could look through the somewhat transparency of the cloud and see fire burning. It was like, whoa, it was awesome. And every day, day after day, every day, somewhere on planet Earth, there's a beautiful sunset declaring the glory of God. Where am I? It's two or three more verses. Go to verse 3. They, who are they? Heavens and the skies. They speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is never heard. You know, I didn't hear that sunset. Maybe it was there. Number four. Their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. Verse 6. The sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat. The psalmist here is telling us how much of the glory of God, the power of God, and the beauty of God can be seen in just the sun. Please stand to your feet. I want to just do a quick reminder of some of the thoughts that I may have spoken. Ever since men like Adam, Abraham, Moses, David, and Elijah, God's wanted a mature race of God kind of humans that will subdue evil and manifest His will in the earth as it is in heaven. And through Jesus and His body, this will be fulfilled. It's a good thought. God is always up, which is a spirit place. Here's one I don't think I talked about, but it's in my thoughts here. Everybody has a spirit. You got to look under your shirt. There's a spirit down there somewhere. Did you know that our personal spirit depends on our physical body to manifest itself? Parallel universes, again. Physical body, spirit person, they're parallel, they're together, they work as one, they need one another. Your spirit being depends on that physical body to show the world what God's doing through you. Paul teaches us that, Paul, Jesus as well, they both taught that one day we would have a new body. And the Word of God teaches us that the new body is like the body Jesus has now. It'll be very more, your new body's going to be much more spirit friendly. Your new body is going to be much more spirit friendly. Spirit friendly. He wants your new body to be spirit friendly because it's going to be living in a spirit realm as never before. Let me read to you something. You don't need to look this up, Christine. I'll just read it to him. First John 3 says, "See how very much our Father loves us, for He calls us His children. And that is what we are. But the people that belong to this world don't recognize that we're God's children because they don't know Him. Dear friends, we're already God's children, but He has not yet shown us what we'll be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He really is. And all those who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure as He is pure." We don't have all the answers. We can't explain to you what the new body is going to be like. Whether it's a body you receive at the coming of Christ, if you're still alive, or it's a body you receive after you've passed through the grave and come to resurrection. But the new body is going to be like the one Jesus has. Jesus could appear and disappear. He could walk through the wall, run through the wall, move the wall, go through the door like you and me. There were no limits, no limitations of any kind on His new body. Because it was God kind, God-like. It was supernatural. The supernatural had taken over the natural. And one day, the supernatural person in you is going to take over the natural. And you'll get to have a new body like Jesus. And Paul says, we'll see him as we is. We'll know him as we know him. We have so little to go by on explanation here. But I'm telling you, serving God has its rewards. And the biggest reward is eternal life, because you will get to live forever like Jesus lives forever. You'll get to live forever as part of what he's doing. It's not like he's going to take you to heaven, deposit you next to the river to dangle your toes in the water for all of eternity, and let you get up once a week and walk on streets of gold. It's far beyond that. He has plans for you that he's never even talked about to us. And those plans are to include us in everything he's going to do for all of eternity. And he will be busy because he's creative. The very universe in the physical shows us how creative he really is. And there's so much that he has in store for us. And we need to think about those heavenly things, embrace those heavenly things by faith, and say yes, yes, yes. Yes and amen to every promise. Yes and amen to the plan of God. Lord, I don't understand a lot of things, but Lord, I understand that you called me to serve you. And you started changing me the day I said yes. The day I made a conversion from self to Christ. The day I made a conversion and a commitment to quit serving myself and start serving God. My eternal life started. And Lord, you're the one that put this in play. You put it in action. And it's good, Lord. And I want to follow through. I want to go as far up as you want me to go. I want to go as far out as you want me to go. I want to be a part of what you're doing to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. Lord, before we conquer outer space, we've got an earth to conquer. We've been sent here to colonize the planet, and we've got an earth to conquer. The devil has stolen it, illegally taken possession of it, and we, the body of Christ in the name of Jesus, must take it back. Oh, precious Lord, there's so much, so much. You're so big. You're so awesome. You're so unexplainable. But Lord, there's just something on the inside of us. There's a fire burning saying, more God, more God, more God. More of you, God. More of you, God. More of you, God. I want you, Lord. I want you. I hunger for you. My soul is not satisfied with natural things. I want spiritual things. My soul's not satisfied with just physical tinglings and satisfactions. Lord, I'm not satisfied with the physical. I want that that is beyond physical, that that is supernatural. I want you to teach me, Lord, how to live in the supernatural realm, in the heavenly realm. Lord, get me ready for the heavens by teaching me to walk and think in the heavens even now. And Lord, you say, people would say, well, how would you do that? We do it by doing the works of Christ. Lord, as we do the works of Christ, as we do what we're commanded to do, as we do what we've been given authority to do, doing the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's our road to success. That's our road, our destiny. Do what Jesus did. Think like Jesus thought. Love like Jesus loved. Heal like Jesus healed. Lord, as we take your name and take your authority, we want to do these things. Father, thank you for being so awesome. If anyone has special need for prayer, I would invite you to come up. Barbara and I would be happy to pray for you. If you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, if you need healing, if you need restoration, if you need to put down some carnality and pick up some spirituality, if you need to put down some sin and pick up some righteousness, I mean, God's ready to make changes in our lives. He's ready. And we just bless you today as you come. Oh, thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Step forward, brother. Father God, this man is called. He's called. He is called. God is calling him deep inside. The Holy Ghost is calling, magic, come to me, come to me, come to me, come to me. Magic, come close to me, close to me, close to me. He has things to teach you, things to reveal to you. He has guidance for you so that you can give guidance to others. He has things to teach you so you can teach others. He has His word to impart unto you so you can impart the word to others. He wants to make a library, a spiritual word of God library out of you. He wants to fill your heart, your mind, even your imagination with godly biblical principles so that when there is questions to be answered, you'll have the answers. In Jesus' name, amen and so be it. In Jesus' name, fill him, Lord, from the tips of his toes to the top of his head. Just fill him, I pray, with desire for you. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. I pray that he have revelation knowledge. When he reads the word of God, it'll make sense. I pray that when he reads the word of God, he'll say, yes, that's what it means. I can walk with that. I can talk with that. I can put that in my life. I can assimilate that. I can share that. That makes sense. Lord, I just thank you for revelation knowledge. In Jesus' name. Oh, fires of God, we welcome you. We welcome you, Holy Ghost fire. Lord, you said you'd baptize us, Holy Ghost and fire. We welcome you, Holy Ghost. We welcome you, Spirit of God. We welcome you. We welcome your baptism of fire to cleanse us. Fire, 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 fire. Fire, 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 fire. Fire, 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 fire. Holy Ghost fire. Fire, 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 fire. In Jesus' name, fires of God burn in his soul. Word of God, word of God. Like the prophet Jeremiah, the word of God is fire in his bones. Fire, fire to share Jesus, a fire to preach. Fire, fire, fire. Thank you, Father. Father God, I pray that your word will be fruitful in our lives. That the scriptures that we need this week will come right up on our monitor. Pray, Lord, that our memory banks will be full of the scripture, and every time we need one, it'll come right up. Pray that your word will walk with us, talk with us, go to work with us, go shopping with us. Lord, let us be an extension of your word today, this whole week. Let this be a good week to express the word of God. Father, I pray you bless the prayer walk, the school prayer walk that continues tonight at 6:30, Lord. Pray that there be an anointing upon that prayer walk, that people will participate, that people from every church will not allow denominational thoughts or barriers to keep them from doing what is the Christian obligation, and that's to pray for the children in the schools. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity, the privilege to pray for the schools. I thank you for it. Thank you for blessing this people, for guiding them, guarding them, and keeping them safe. In Jesus' name we bless them. Amen. I want to just share one quick announcement that we forgot to share with you earlier. Shannon De La Torre, she went to church across the line this morning, so she's not here. But she's going to be gathering up school supplies for children in need around the community. I mean, everything that, you know, the big stores, box stores, everybody's selling school supplies really cheap right now. Bring them here to the church. You know, when you grab a couple of things for your kids, grab a couple for the kids that don't, you know, can't afford them. And bring things here to the church. And Shannon's putting together a drive for school supplies. And some of these families that have a hard time supplying their kids with all those things, we want to help. And Shannon's going to be putting together a lot of that. So please buy school supplies, bring them here to church as you can. And if you need Shannon's phone number, we can get that for you later. She'll be heading it up. Have a great week. If you can, please, we'll see you tonight at the school prayer walk. God bless you, and may his face shine upon you in Jesus' name.